Laudate Christus est natus, est Maria Virgine, laudate, laudate.
Welcome to worship. We explore in our service today the themes of light shining in the darkness, mysterious visitors bringing the Holy Family even more mysterious gifts, and consider how a people struggling in exile and defeat were enlightened with God's glorious light. My name is Andy Bronston, and I am the United Reformed Church's Minister for Digital Worship. Living in Orkney off Scotland's far north coast, I know a thing or two about living in darkness in these short winter days. But there again, I know something of living in the light, as in June it doesn't really get dark. Our readings explore themes of light and dark as we focus on Jesus, whose light radiates in the gloom of our world. Let's worship God together.
In the gloom of our world, when all seems desperate and dangerous,
we arise and shine, for our light has come.
In the helpless situations that surround us, the news that terrifies, the nations at war, the truth itself is silenced.
We arise and shine, for our light has come.
When gifts have strings attached, when estrangement is part of life, and when dangerous leaders tempt us to despair,
we arise and shine, for our light has come.
So we arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon us. Our hearts will thrill and rejoice as the work of Christmas continues to shine the Lord's light in our darkened world.
Thank you. Let us pray. We come to worship you, O God, with obedience and humility. As we adore your most holy name, we lay our burdens at your feet, not just for our own good, but to allow space for you to guide our steps, that we may relieve the world's pain. As we come and see the beauty of your holiness, we become conscious of the ugliness of our sin. We love the gloom more than the light, the sorrow more than the joy, lies more than the truth. We are conscious of our slender wealth against the riches of your grace. Give us time, O God, to appreciate your tender love, to live your beautiful truth, and make our lives temples to your glory. Give us the grace to forgive others when they hurt us, the beauty to forgive ourselves and leave our guilt behind, and the faith to trust in your forgiveness, which changes and challenges us. Amen.
Our reading from Isaiah is set during the exile of the Jewish people in Babylon. It was a time of great gloom and despondency when the very future of the Jewish people as an independent nation was in grave doubt. Yet, in the midst of the gloom, there's news of recovery. A recovery that will bring nations and their rulers to pay tribute to Israel and bring costly gifts. Our gospel reading tells us of mysterious visitors from the east who will bring costly gifts to a peasant child, believing him to be a king. Pagan outsiders perceive what God is up to long before those who should have known what was going on. Let's pray, and then we'll hear ancient and contemporary words as we think about those readings and how we might find them useful now.
Come with speedy support, O Spirit, to give us songs for sighing that, as we hear you in ancient and contemporary words, you might turn our gloom into light and remind us that we are precious in your sight. Amen.
Reading from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Hail to the Lord's anointed, great David, greater son. Hail in the time appointed, his reign on earth begun. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression and rule in equity. He comes with succor speedy to those who suffer wrong, to help the poor and needy, and
and bid the weak be strong, to give them songs for sighing, their darkness turn to light. Whose souls condemned and dying were precious in his sight.
He shall come down like showers upon the fruitful earth, and love, joy, hope, like flowers, spring in his path to bloom. Before him on the mountains shall peace the herald go, and righteousness in fountain from hill to valley flow.
Kings shall fall down before him, and gold and incense bring, and nations shall adore him, his praise all people sing. For he shall have dominion o'er river, sea, and shore, far as the eagle's pinion or dove's light wing can soar. O'er every foe victorious, he on his throne shall rest, from age to age more glorious, all blessing and all blessed. The tide of time shall never his covenant remove. His name shall stand forever, that name to us is love.
Reading from St. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, but are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. From you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen all its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Imagine a people without a land, a nation whose capital lay in ruins, and a tribe deported to a faraway country which didn't understand their language, faith, rituals, or identity. Imagine the pain, dislocation, grief, and stress. This was the situation of the Jewish people as the final chapters of the book we now call Isaiah were written. The political and religious elite had been deported to Babylon, and their homeland, temple, houses, fields, and trades were left in ruin. How could they sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Of course, these ancient tragedies have a contemporary ring, as Palestinians exist without their own land, with their heritage, faiths, and very existence threatened by an expansionist Israeli state. History repeats itself as few listen. The writer of those prophecies to Isaiah, though, does not offer comfort for the bad times, but hope in a different future. A future where the poverty of defeat and deportation will be replaced with the nations bringing their riches, all that gold and frankincense, to Israel. Kings would, instead of laughing, pay homage. The nations that once dominated Israel would now pay homage to it. The sea to the west and the lands to the east will pour in their wealth. No wonder the writer told the readers to arise, for their light had come. The light, however, wasn't for Israel alone. This isn't a passage where Israel can laugh at the poor benighted pagans as they come to bring homage. Instead, Israel's light has a purpose. Nations would come to the light, kings to Israel's dawn. Throughout the Old Testament, God uses the most unlikely people, often pagans, to achieve his purposes. There's Ruth, the pagan woman in Jesus' lineage. There's Rahab, the sex worker who sided with God's people, also in Jesus' genealogy. Then there's Cyrus, the pagan ruler who freed the Jewish people. It took some time for the biblical writers to understand that God was God of all the nations, not just of Israel. There's a growing awareness of it in various Old Testament texts. After all, humanity was to be blessed through God's covenant with Abraham, and Israel saw itself as a light to the Gentiles. For Christians, it's when this text is paired with our passage from St. Matthew's Gospel that we can see these themes most clearly. For in our Gospel passage, we see pagan priests come to worship the newborn Jewish king. We know very little about the Magi. The name itself might mean Persian priest or sorcerer. By the time of Darius the Great, the term Magi was used to denote a Zoroastrian priest, or a priest from an earlier Iranian religion. They were thought to practice magic, by which was meant astronomy, astrology, and alchemy. They were thought to have esoteric knowledge. Now we might see them as astrologers, but they were more than that. They not only discerned meaning in the stars, they were seekers after wisdom, even wisdom beyond their own faith. We are used to the term kings from the psalm which we sang in part in the hymn Hail to the Lord's Anointed, and which we'll sing in We Three Kings later on. Yet the term king isn't in the Matthew passage. Wise men is a rather sanctified version of magi, which would probably be translated as sorcerer or magician. Maybe that's a bit too Harry Potter-like for contemporary tastes. Yet these pagan priests came to acknowledge the light of the world. Herod's people, who should have known what was going on, haven't got a clue. The pagan outsiders did. Matthew, instead of having pagan nations coming to pay tribute to Israel, has pagan priests worshipping the Jewish Messiah. Instead of the riches of East and West pouring into Israel, the sorcerers bring valuable gifts full of meaning. Gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, myrrh for a sacrifice. No doubt these gifts were useful during the Holy Family's own exile. Even in his infancy, Jesus was for all people, Jew and Gentile. Jesus draws all people to him, sorcerers from the east, the Syrophoenician woman from the north, Egyptians from the south met him in exile, Romans from the west listened to him, and, of course, Jews from all around the world followed him. This is the moment when the light of the world is revealed to humanity. In Jesus, Matthew sees fulfillment of the ancient destiny of the Jewish people to be a light to the nations. Through Jesus, God invites all to bathe in the light, to change the world, and to feast together. So what might we do with these readings now? We live in a world which isn't always bathed in light. In these gloomy days of winter, it's easy to think of situations of gloom and evil in our world. The war in Ukraine drags on, and we've no idea how Mr. Trump will seek to change things. Israel still pummels Gaza, makes delivery of aid nearly impossible, and some members of the Israeli cabinet are determined to annex at least a part of Gaza for colonisation. Again, Mr. Trump's intentions are not clear, but he's appointed people to high office who seem to uncritically support Israel's ambitions. In Europe, we're faced with populist leaders seeking to emulate dictators and undermine the rule of law, just as the EU and ourselves seek to make life for the refugees more and more difficult and demeaning. God's light might be exposing the evil rather than helping us avoid it. God's light might be seen more in the bedraggled folk trying to cross the channel than in the churches quietly singing their hymns and avoiding the world's realities. Like Herod's priests, many of our religious leaders go along with the status quo, hoping to deflect attention from the church's manifold failures. Best not criticise in case the press are unleashed to examine our faults. And yet the light shines from this vulnerable baby. Strength is seen in weakness, truth is seen on the edge. The light, strength and truth of Jesus is there. Of course, to comfort, but not to offer cheap grace. The light, strength and truth that Jesus shows the world is there to change it. So this Epiphany, as we think of the Holy Family fleeing to Egypt, we must also think of those on the move seeking safety and security and learn to help them. As we recoil from Herod's murderous rage, we think of contemporary tyrants who don't care for their people and murder and maim more than Herod ever did, and learn to oppose them. As we think of the light coming into the world, we realise the light is there not just for us in our cosy religiosity, but for all to be led into truth. The light shines in our gloomy places to expose corruption and injustice. The light reminds us to shine too. God's grace not only reaches out with love, not only serves as light to lead and expose, but also demands that we act, we lead, we expose, so that the light of the world is again embodied in us. Let us pray. Light of the world, expose the hidden places of our societies, the corruption in high office, the murderous rage of tyrants, the injustice hiding in plain sight, the hatred and racism bubbling below the surface, spilling up whenever dangerous men seize power. And help us, O God, to see more clearly in your light, that we might act, lead, and serve as lights which shine on you, even as you shine on us. Amen.
In the beginning God spoke, and there was light. In the fullness of time Mary spoke,
and Jesus, the light of the world, was born.
At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit spoke as fire,
as light in the darkness.
As God's people, we seek to speak as those who live in the light, to expose the evil that hides in the gloom. Through works of love and mercy, we speak truth
and shine in the night.
Lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray. 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 Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
This week, perhaps more than any other, we think of gifts and giving. In times past, gifts were given at Epiphany, not Christmas, in memory of the gold, frankincense and myrrh given by the wise ones. We may not have such exotic gifts to give, but we have ones just as valuable, our time, our talents, and our treasure. We give in so many ways, and God bless that giving and uses it to make a difference in our world. Let's pray. Giver of all good gifts, we thank you for the gifts given in this congregation. Gifts of time, of talent, and of treasure. Help us to use your gifts wisely, that your people will flourish, your light shine, and our world be made whole. Amen.
In the beginning you spoke, Eternal One, and there was light. You called a people as your own to be a light to the nations. Through precious law and audacious prophet, you called your people again and again to follow you, seek justice and pursue righteousness. Hardness of heart, grumbling and faithlessness made your people turn away from your light. And so in the gloom, they were dispersed in exile, learning to sing your song in a strange land. In the gloom, however, you shone and called your people home to rebuild and repair and shine again. But the powers of the ages overshadowed that light, spreading the gloom of invasion and oppression. Yet, in the fullness of time, your light shone on a simple peasant girl who dared to say yes. In the darkness of night, Mary gave birth to Jesus and laid him to rest in a borrowed manger. Adored by shepherds, acknowledged by pagan priests, sent by murderous rage to live as a refugee in exile, he is the light of the world who enlightens all who follow him. When he returned to his own land, he preached, taught and healed, showing God's love and life to those on the edge. He healed the sick, lifted up the oppressed, treated women as equals, and welcomed even the despised to follow him. And so he was criticized, and so he was betrayed, and so he was tortured, and so he was killed. Yet you, Eternal One, did not let him linger in the grave, but raised him to new life, letting people find him in unexpected places with unexpected people. And now we come to find him here at this table. For we remember the nights when Jesus was betrayed, when in the simplicity of the meal, he took bread, blessed it, broke it and gave it to his friends saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, said the ancient blessing, and giving the cup to his disciples, said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in memory of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Come now, Holy Spirit, upon these gifts of bread and wine, and set them apart from all common use, that they may be for us the communion with the body and blood of Christ. Gather us up into the heavenly places, that as we eat and drink these gifts of creation, we may see Jesus himself, risen and ascended, present here for our spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. As we show forth Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we are united with him and with the whole church on earth and in heaven. Renew us as we present our sacrifice of thanksgiving, and let us rejoice at the promise of his coming again in glory. And so we offer you, Eternal One, our pain and our praise, our light and our darkness, through Jesus, with Jesus, in Jesus, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, knowing that all honour and glory is yours for ever and ever. Amen. These are the holy gifts of God, lights in the gloom for God's holy people, that we may shine as the sun. Let us pray. We thank you for all your gifts, eternal God, golden gifts that enrich us, mysterious gifts which draw us near to you, and even bitter gifts that are unwanted and unbidden. Give us the grace to use all your gifts, that your light will shine in the gloom and the world be made whole. Amen. Now the song of the angels is stilled. The star in the sky is gone. The wise ones are home and the shepherds are back with the flock. Now the work of Christmas begins, to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace and to make music in the heart. May God give you the strength to undertake the work of Christmas, shining divine light into the gloomy places of our world. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.